Welcome to the Friday edition of The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, and all about good news. The Encouraging Word. That's right. Today, Dr. Wilton finishes the message we began yesterday called Now for the Good News. And as we study the Word together, we want you to know that we're available for you in a number of ways, not just during this half hour, but 24 hours a day online at tewonline.org. As you come to our website right now, you'll see a great deal of emphasis on this wonderful book by Ann Graham Lotz, Jesus in Me, Experiencing the Holy Spirit as a Constant Companion. If you'd like to get details on getting a copy, visit us online, tewonline.org, or you can call us now as well. 866-899-WORD is the number. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
The Bible here says that the time is going to come that the Roman Empire, the constellation of European common states, are going to rise up again, not as independent units, although initially as independent units, but they are going to be drawn together as one unit. And of course, we know that to be true. France and Italy and Holland and Germany, Spain, Portugal, Switzerland, Luxembourg, Austria, Scandinavian countries, England. And if you go all the way back to the time of Neville Chamberlain, if you go all the way back to the time of the installation of the welfare state and the kind of tension that exists between the Conservatives and the Labour Party in England, you go and look at Margaret Thatcher, who was known as the Iron Lady, and you see her whole administration for all of those years, and the greatest battles that Margaret Thatcher fought. Fortunately, during the 80s, she had a great ally in President Ronald Reagan. But as soon as President Ronald Reagan left office, her allyship began to be dismantled. As long as they had an ally overseas in the biggest country in the world, they were going to be able to withstand the European nation pull and the demand that Europe become amalgamated into one entity. But as soon as that began to break, the door began to open. If you go and watch the movements of the State Department, even if you go back into 1990 and 91 in Desert Storm and Desert Shield, you see the way in which the United Nations of Europe began to get together and began to form an alliance that allied themselves with the United States against the forces that came against us in Iraq. Those types of things today are far more difficult. You cannot get that same kind of cooperation. That whole move toward an alliance between East and West was built up and then began to break down again. And the European nations today are beginning to position themselves. They have instituted their new currency, the euro, and they have broken down borders and no longer are passports necessary. And when you go into certain European countries and you arrive at the airport today, literally at the airport, it says European members, others. Previously, when you traveled through Europe, you would get to Germany, or you'd get to Luxembourg, or you'd get to Spain, or you'd get to France, and it would have French citizens, or it would have German citizens, or members of the Federal German Republic. Now you go to most of the countries in Europe, and there's one or two places you and I go to. When I go to Europe as an American citizen, I can promise you right now, I will have to go through the others. Everybody else goes through European, we'll go through the others. What is this speaking about? There is a build-up, a unification happening in Europe today. That's never been there before. The Bible says that from within this group is going to come the Antichrist, the other horn, as we read about it here. I also wanted to know in verse 20 about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up. And by the way, the Bible says the other horn. It says that these 10 horns gather together and they form a common denominator, and then from within their number, there rises up another horn. Someone begins to make himself known from within that constellation. That's the Antichrist. What does it say about him? Verse 20 says he is more imposing. Verse 20 says he is superior to the others. Verse 20 tells us he is boastful. Verse 21 says that he wages war against the saints. Now, why does he wage war against the saints? Look at verse 21. Now, by the way, in verse 21, you've got a little phrase there, as I watched. Did you notice that there? As I watched. I have to in my Bible, maybe not in yours, but just flip back and go to verse 11 of chapter 7. Let's put this in context. See what God is doing. He's connecting all these pieces together. Remember that unlike Revelation, which I believe to be chronological, Daniel is not necessarily chronological. Daniel has a lot of explanation within the chronological presentation. You go back to verse 11. Here's Daniel. He's looking up into heaven and he sees the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the throne's in place. He sees a river of fire. He sees thousands upon thousands of people. That's you and me, who've been raptured, believers who've been raptured, and he sees us all around the throne. Verse 10 tells us, thousands upon thousands attended him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the court was seated, and the books were opened. Now here is Daniel, and he's been transported in his vision into the presence of the throne room. And then you'll remember that I used the phrase, there's this distraction that he keeps having, and he has to look back down to earth. And in verse 11, then I continued to watch. That word there, continued to watch, literally means that this was running concurrently with. It was happening at the same time. While God was being worshipped in the throne room and the books were being opened, running concurrently with that was the rise of the Antichrist and the tribulation period and the persecution of the tribulation saints upon the earth. Now, who are these saints? Can't be me. Can't be you if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Look with me again. Verse 21. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them. Well, would you just keep your finger there? Don't lose that. Go back to Revelation 13 with me. Let's just have a very quick glimpse at Revelation 13. Let me just read. First of all, I'm going to read from verse 5. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. All right? You with me? If you go back over to verse 25 of Daniel chapter 7, don't lose those two passages, all right? We're just going to do a little flip-flopping here. Daniel chapter 7, he will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and a half time. All right, go back to chapter 13 of Revelation verse 5. Now, the remarkable thing is that the book of Revelation was written hundreds of years later. If you've ever doubted the truth of Scripture, there was no connection between John on the Isle of Patmos and this man by the name of Daniel. Verse 5 of chapter 13, the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God, to slander his name and his dwelling place, and those who already are living in heaven. Now, folks, I'm running out of hands here. Watch this. Every person who is here tonight who has trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, if you've trusted the Lord, you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've given your heart to Him, you, and I'm one of them, we are going to be raptured. We're going to be taken out of this world. If you want to know more about that, please call our office and get the tape that I preached on the rapture of the church and the notes and that. It'll be very helpful to you. Very important. We're going to be raptured. We're going to be taken out of the earth. You go and study back there in Revelation chapter 4. You're taken out of the earth. All of those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be raptured. Those are going to be the saints who are in heaven, because we're going to be in heaven. The people who are going to be left behind, the ones who don't know Jesus Christ and who have not sinned away their day of grace, are going to be given an opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ. They are going to be known as the tribulation saints. One of the most helpful things you could do is read that book entitled Left Behind. It'll get you, I promise you. Don't Tim LaHaye's book and the whole series of books, and so many of you have read them. But you see, those who are left behind, people say, well, man, I'm just going to take my chances, you know. I'm going to fool around with God, and I'm going to mess around, and I'm not going to get excited about this, because if I can get saved after the rapture of the church, man, I'm just going to take my run with everybody else. Well, here's what I want to say to you. Number one, are you sure you're going to be alive when the rapture takes place? Anybody who can guarantee and say, look, I'm going to be alive when the rapture of the church takes place? Because if you die before then, you're not going to be given a chance to become a tribulation saint. It's over. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The second thing you've got to be dead certain of is that you're not sinning away your day of grace, that you are not saying no to the Spirit of God, that you are not guilty of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Can you guarantee that you are not blaspheming, that you are not saying no to the Spirit of God? Because if you're saying no to the Spirit of God, you are not going to fall into the category of a potential tribulation saint. But the third thing that I want to say to you, friend, is I wouldn't want to wish anybody to become a tribulation saint. Do you know why? Because those saints are going to go through the worst kind of tribulation you could ever imagine. That's why they call tribulation saints. And the Bible says that during the time of the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to be given authority to rule and to dominate and to persecute tribulation saints. Now, how is that going to happen? Well, during the tribulation, everyone's going to have to wear the letters 666. By the way, did you know that the computers today, www.com, the three W's, is the same letter for six in the Hebrew text? Do you know what we're doing when we put www.com? We're punching in 666.com. But I'll guarantee you something, my friends, that through the internet and the web, we now have worldwide access to one another, just at the push of a button. And God says that the Antichrist is going to be given the power and the authority to unleash His tribulation upon those who have the audacity not to wear the mark of the beast upon their foreheads. Revelation chapter 20 talks about the tribulation saints. They're going to have a special place in God's scheme of things. Well, look here in verse 6 of Revelation chapter 13. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God, to slander His name and His dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. He was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. Now go to verse 13. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in the full view of man. Because of the signs, he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number, and the number is WWW. 666.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and we'll be back with the rest of the message now for the good news in just a moment. And though we might be taken aback by that concept of no one can buy or sell unless they have the mark, as we study the end times, we also apply it to the way we live out our life today and making sure that we're finding ourselves being called out to be different from the world in which we live. If you'd like to have someone talk with you, pray with you about this, we're doing that 24 hours a day, keyboard to keyboard, on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. But in this day and age of texting and typing, sometimes a conversation is just what you need. If you'd like to have someone pray with you and pray for you, we're here to listen, to connect with resources, and to pray at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. It would be our joy to pray with you and maybe connect you with great free resources like the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. You can sign up online. You can even text the word DAILY to 30500 and sign up via your phone, and it'll be in your email box tomorrow. Again, just text the word DAILY to 30500. We'll send you a quick link, and you'll be signed up and ready to receive that Daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Don Wilton. Now back to today's message, now for the good news on the Encouraging Word.
Well, let's go back to chapter 7 of the book of Daniel. So we find that he is more imposing, he's superior to others, he's boastful, he wages war. And verse 22, of course, is the best of all, because the Bible says in verse 22, verse 21, as I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints. Who are they? These are the tribulation saints. These are the people who have refused to receive the mark of the beast upon their hands or their foreheads, number 666. And he was defeating them. He was persecuting them. He was butchering them. Verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The glorious reappearing of the Savior. He gave me this explanation. He said this fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth, be different from all other kingdoms, will devour the whole earth, trampling it down. The ten horns are ten kingdoms. After them, another king will arrive, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue three kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and laws. Why is he trying to change the set times and laws? What the Antichrist is going to do is he is going to try to set himself up as God. We've got to understand that the very meaning of the Antichrist is one who is altogether unlike Christ, but taking the place of Christ. Remember, at the beginning of the tribulation period, what does the Antichrist masquerade as? A man of peace. The Antichrist is going to be a man who's going to be known. Everybody's going to say, oh, goodness, it's you. He's going to be someone of exceptional skill, and his arrival upon the earth is going to be in the name of peace. He's going to travel the world and say, I come in the name of peace. He's going to travel among all the peoples, and he's going to say, don't worry, everything's just fine. And at the halfway mark of the tribulation period, all of a sudden, he's going to raise his true flag. And what once was touted as peace is going to become unmitigated disaster. And the second half of the tribulation period is going to be a time when he's going to oppress the saints. Not only that, he's going to do whatever he can to try and change the set times of God. Why do you suppose the Antichrist would try to change the set times of God? May I suggest to you, because the Antichrist is going to know that he is on a timetable and his time is running out. And the Antichrist is going to do whatever he can to try to interfere in the majestic, sovereign will of an almighty God. And he is going to do everything he can. Folks, I don't know this, but I should imagine if computers are anything like they are today, I think the Antichrist is going to have one computer expert, such of which you and I don't even know. He's going to try and infiltrate the computer system of the world with a virus that is going to try and turn the system of the world on its head. He is going to try and introduce something into this world so that he can nuke the world. He wants to blow up the world. He wants to upset the timetable of an almighty sovereign God. He wants to hold out his hands and say, you aren't God, I'm God, and I've taken your place. And God is going to say, why don't you just have a little time for the moment, because I'm about to wipe you from upon the face of the earth. And so the Bible says that what he's going to do is he's going to try to change the set times and laws, and the saints will be handed over to him. God is going to allow the persecution of the tribulation saints. Why? Because of the grace of God and because of the timetable of God. But the court will sit. There's an abrupt announcement here. There's a reaffirmation. But the court will sit, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom, the one who is the Ancient of Days, will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and bow down to him and will adore him forever and forever and forever. You see, this is the blessed assurance. It's almost like there's a drum roll here. The trumpets begin to sound. And there are three things that we're told. Number one, the court will sit. God, the God of judge, the God who is the God of judge, the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment. There will be the final pronouncement of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Second, the power of the Antichrist will be removed once and for all. And third, God will be totally and eternally victorious. And I think it's just incredible that Daniel writes, this is the end. You know, it's just like Daniel kind of sinks back into his chair after going through this horrendous experience, this incredible thing that God did in his heart. And when God gets to the end of the line, Daniel, as it were, steps forward to the pages of eternity, looks out across eternal humanity, and he says, thus it has been written. Thus it has been said. This is the end of the matter. Any more questions? God has spoken. God has spoken. If you have any doubt in your mind, just know that the Lord Jesus Christ is on his throne. you and I have nothing to fear in Him.
Oh, what a powerful message from Dr. Wilton. And when God has spoken, almost always there is a response that is expected on our part. I pray that you've heard more than the wonderful South African brogue of our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, but today you've heard from the voice of the Lord, and He's softening your heart to a decision you need to make. Before we go any further, would you take a listen to these special words from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton?
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus, and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together, because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ.
Lord, the Lord has spoken to you and God has stirred your heart to a decision. Lord, let us help you affirm that decision. Draw a line in the sand and begin the process for the next. If you would, we'd love to put some free resources in your hands. If you've given your heart to Christ for the first time or rededicated your life to Jesus, call us and let us know at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. As a matter of fact, you can also connect with us keyboard to keyboard online at tewonline.org. We'd love to be able to encourage you, pray for you, and again, and give you those free resources if you've given your heart to Jesus. Why don't you contact us? 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. You'll also discover great resources like this.
In the midst of life's changes and losses, we each need a friend, a confidant, someone who will come alongside us and share every step of our journey. Someone who will listen to us, advocate for us, and comfort us. Someone we can trust. This month, for your gift of support to the Encouraging Word, we will send you the inspiring book, Jesus and Me, by Anne Graham Lotz. In Jesus and Me, Lotz draws on biblical knowledge and personal stories, including her recent cancer diagnosis, to help us understand the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request your copy of Jesus and Me today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry, sharing God's truth around the world. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening today.
I hope you'll get a copy of that book. It's a wonderful one, but there are also many other resources online at tewonline.org. And just a passing note, Dr. Don doesn't always like me to talk about it, but every book that Dr. Don has written, dozens and dozens of them available that you might invest in and also invest in our ministry, Dr. Wilton receives no money for that. Dr. Wilton is not paid by the Encouraging Word. His pastorate at his church takes care of that, and every investment you give goes to lifting up the name of Jesus. So if you'd like, consider giving online at tewonline.org. The Encouraging